God is, Lord, live in your presence daily. And Lord, that desire in our hearts, that it would not wane or shallow, Lord, but that it would grow, that it would get greater every day, Lord. That love, Lord, that desire, Lord, to walk close to you, Lord, that you would let that just continue to build and build, Lord. That revelation would build, that life within us, Lord. Lord, would bring forth a greater manifestation every day. Lord, we ask you would bless each one now. Lord, your bride around the world, Lord. Every heart, Lord. We know that there's one purpose, one spirit, Lord, that's motivating her from every country. And Lord, we know everything else is just an imitation of that, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would draw us and guide us. Lord, take the furtherance of this service, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Good to see you. And we thank God once again to come together. And we appreciate him. And we are looking forward to having some meetings now for Easter. And we want you to be praying for that. The Lord will just have his way, and he will prepare every heart, rather that heart is speaking or that heart is listening, and that we would be a blessing to each one, and that he would be pleased with it. And so that's our desire, and so we thank God for the fellowship. And we want to say we did enjoy the fellowship on Sunday, and the dinner and getting together. And the girls was asking me, my girls was asking me when I got home from work, and they got home from school, they said, when are we going to have another dinner? And so and I said, did you enjoy that? And they were like, yeah, we enjoyed very much. So we appreciate that. And so now we want to get right into the message now. And we're continuing on. So for the title tonight, of course, most of the time, the title is going to be part. It's going to be part of a quote. And so this is the age of life, the personal life of Christ. And so I had read this quote before, and I had forgot about it because your brother Branham said he identified the age, you know, the bride age, climax age, rapture age. He said a lot of different things. And then I was reminded of this. I ran across this earlier, and where he said this is the age of life, the personal life of Christ. And so that's what it's all about today. That's what it was building to and building to. And he said that, you know, he said it didn't come in Luther's day. And he said in Wesley's day, the sanctification come to get it ready to be received. And he said, then it come in the last days. And so we're going to start in the message. Now I'm picking up where we left off last time. We were talking about the vindication of the presence of God. And so the quotes are still running like that. But he's also talking about the life, and he's talking about it in the bride. And we're working our way into the calling of the bride. Which is the time that was his work. And I'm pretty sure Brother Branham said it like that, that he when he takes the book, he calls the bride. And said, I think he said in the seal book or just right after, he said the first thing that he does is calls his bride to stand by his side. And so I haven't read that in a while, but I can remember preaching on that one time. And then, so he said, that's his work. The work of redemption was finished, but the work now of the claiming and the possessing, the calling, now that's his work. When he takes that book, that's his work. And so I think that's where people put so much fear on the part of redemption and all of that. They totally misunderstand what's being said. That work was finished. That work. It went on Calvary. He said it's finished. That work was finished. never again was he going to hang on a cross. Never again was he going to give himself a sacrifice. Never again would he do those things. Nobody ever would do those things again. It was finished. And there's 2,000 years he had to work. And he began that work right then. From Calvary, he began that work. And he went right there at the right hand of God and was mediating for the people by the blood that was shed. And so right there, that was his work. For 2,000 years, that was his work. And he was faithful to that, and he stayed right there, and nothing changed. And he was fulfilling that work all the way through as that seed went into the ground, as that resurrection began, the word began to come back up through Luther and Wesley and into Pentecost. And then the day came. That great day came that he rose up from the throne and he took the book. He took the book and he came to claim. So that work was finished. Now he has another work. And this work is not redemption. This work now is the claiming of what he redeemed. It's a totally different work. And so when he comes to this, now at the same time that he's claiming this and sealing this into him, he's also bringing judgment. And the judgment strikes. And the judgment is upon the earth. And the judgment is upon the people. And I was reading that earlier. Brother Rand was talking about there where he threw the rock up. And so let me get reading because we just have a short time. Paragraph 181. And this is in the I've heard, but now I see. And when the true, genuine vindication of the scripture of this last day message, and you see the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I like when he uses those words. When the true, this means the real thing. And when he talks about the Holy Ghost, he said the true Holy Ghost, the true revelation, the true presence of God, the true everything, the genuine, not that which was in part, not that which was impersonated, not any of those things, but now the genuine, the true thing. See, the genuine vindication of the scriptures of this last day message. And you see the presence of Jesus Christ. That's a must. That's a must that we see that present. Brother Branham said in the rapture message, it's tremendous when you see God come down in the midst of the people and do what he said he would do. Do what he promised to do. Right in the scriptures, he promised what he would do. And when you can see it, when you see God come down and fulfill the word of the age, he said, that's tremendous. That's a great thing, a wonderful thing to see that. But you have to be special built for that. You have to have a special eyesight. You have to have special hearing to be able to hear that and to comprehend that and to receive that. See? And you see the presence of Jesus Christ, that you had heard what he'd done in his life. And you hear the scriptures and say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what you see, what you read in the Bible, what he done. You see the power of God. You see the supernatural. You see the great things, not just in the New Testament, not just in the life of Jesus Christ, but all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. You see those things. You see it. And then you long to see it. You long to see it with your own eyes. And that's the message. I've heard, but now I see. I heard about it, but now I want to see it. Now God is letting his people see it. And just before the Sodom condition is fired over with the wrath of God, see, Jesus' return amongst his people, formed in human flesh, and do the same thing that he done. He keeps saying it over and over. And as you search the message, you will find him saying it over and over and over. He's come. He's here. He's doing this. He's doing that. No man could do this. It's not me. It's him. It's him. It's him. It's constant. When he comes to that part, after the seals open up, and he comes to that part, and he begins to identify it, he just identifies it more and more and more. In the message, Spiritual Food in Due Season, and this is a great message. I hadn't read it in a long time, but I just I ran into these quotes, and then I ran into an old message as I was searching through some of my old notes, and it had a lot of quotes from this message, and just a great message. Listen to that Elijah, the prophet, cry out against them and their theologians. Notice, he spoke as if he was God himself. And I like that. I like it. See, Elijah spoke as if he was God himself. The dew will not fall from heaven until I call for it. Is that right? Is that what Adam done? When Adam could speak to nature, Adam could say anything that he wanted and it was done. He was speaking as if he was God himself. And every prophet that comes and spoke the word of God for the day that they live in, they spoke as God themselves. Moses was God to the people. We read on Sunday, Brother Adam said it was Jesus Christ. In Noah. It was Jesus Christ in Moses. It was Jesus Christ in Elijah. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's who it was. Amen. And he's the living word. He is the living word made manifest. He said, the dew will not fall from heaven until I call for it. Amen. Yes, sir. The prophet had been so long in the presence of God. Amen. And our prophet was in the presence of God, and it was God himself speaking through the vessel in this day. And brother, sister, we mentioned, Brother Branham said, the bride will have thus saith the Lord. She will have it. We talk about that sometimes. We're just stressing on the part about if she don't have it, she's going to be quiet. That's right. She will be quiet if she don't have it. But the beauty of that statement is, the bride will have, thus saith the Lord. Amen. That's what she has. And she becomes one with that word. Amen. And she speaks it as if it's God himself speaking that word. That's the only, because that's where he's at. That's where he's dwelling. God is dwelling in the bride. That's where he's manifesting himself. That's where he's living at. She's living in the presence of God. She's become one with him. And now when she speaks, it's him speaking. When she speaks this word, when she speaks this revelation, now when we're just having some conversation about the whatever's going on in the week, when we're talking about this revelation, we are speaking, thus saith the Lord. It's God speaking. That's the only way. Brother Branham said the only way that God can speak today is in you. Amen. The only way that the people can see God today is in you. That's all. If they're going to see God, they're going to see him living in you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know, if that becomes real, totally real to us, I know we believe it, and I know we say amen to it, and I know that we're doing our best to live a Christian life and do the right thing. But when that just becomes 100% and we push, get everything else out of our life, everything else out of our minds, everything else out of our thinking, and we get up in the morning and we realize that we're God's representative on the earth, that we're packing this message, that we're packing the life of Jesus Christ in us everywhere that we go, it will create a solemn, it will create a something, a presence, an attitude, a motive and objective that you got one purpose, that you got one motive, one objective that you want, and that is just to express him.
That's right.
You're wanting to leave everything else off and let him.
Amen.
You just get up and you begin to move and say, Lord, this is you doing what you want to do. Brother Branham said, that's the gift. He said, that's the gift. When you get out of the way and you just let him do what he wants to do. You know, I've said this many times, but I think as a young Christian, brother, I don't know how it was in Kenya or different places, but when I was down in Florida and we were just a few people, less than this, half of this, we just had a few people. And we just come into the message. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I just come to the message. The preacher was a young preacher, and he just come to the message. It was all new to him, and so we didn't know anything. And so, like a lot of people, when they come they come to know the Lord, and they read about the miracles and the supernatural and those things, that's what you're thinking about. And you're thinking about speaking the word. You're thinking about speaking to that tree and moving it over here. And you're thinking about walking through that wall. And you're thinking the way to manifest God is to do some supernatural thing. But when you read in the Bible the supernatural things that God was doing all along, there never was that show off. There never was that game. There never was that, I'm going to, you know, you're impressing somebody or you're doing this or you're doing that. It was never that. It was never, God never did it like that. But even the disciples was thinking, I think that's what they were thinking, because they came to him and they seen him doing the miracles. They seen him raise the dead. They seen him open the blinded eyes. They seen him do all those things. And they said, Lord, what can we do to work the works of God? What can we do? We want to do the works of God. We want to do what you're doing. What was his answer? Believe on him in whom I have sent. There's your works. There's your works. You don't got to go nowhere. You don't got to do anything. All you got to do is just believe. And when you believe, you don't have to produce a miracle. You don't have to produce supernatural. You don't have to manifest anything except that life in you that's living out. You might not never do any supernatural thing other than that he is working in you to believe this message. That might be it. But that's the greatest thing. That's the greatest thing. The greatest thing, somehow Satan is always pushing that we're going to manifest something that's going to make this flesh seem like Superman. This is going to be, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to do some supernatural. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to heal the sick. That's all fine. Nothing against that. We want that. Brother Branham, as a matter of fact, I was reading it today. Brother Branham said, God has always provided, firstly, salvation, always provided redemption for his people. Always. From Adam all the way through. Secondly, he said, God has always provided healing for his people. Always. God has done that. He's always made a way for those things for his people. Old Testament, New Testament, in the bright age, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that's a minor. That's the minor. The major is the healing of the soul. The major is the receiving of the word. The major is becoming one with him. Coming to this revelation of the presence of Jesus Christ on the earth today. Living in a body. Living in a body. The prophets of the Old Testament, or any time, when they lived in the presence of God, they became the word. And their message is the word itself. And remember, he said, thus saith the Lord. And when those men had those messages from God, and they become so wrapped up that their own thinking, it might have been against their own thinking. Think about that now. They would be speaking against what their natural, intellectual thinking, carnal thinking believed to that time in their life. Now God is speaking through them and making them say the opposite of what they believed. See? They might not have been able to see it right, but they were speaking the word of God, thus
saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. And we know that's true because we know our prophet told us that. Our prophet told us that people would come and tell him and say, you said such and such. He said, no, I didn't say that. And then they would take him to the tape. And he could still say, I didn't say that. God said that.
That's right.
God said that.
Amen.
God had took over the vessel. God had took over the man. God had completely overlapped all of his thinking, all of his intellect, all of his everything. And God was directly speaking through a human vessel.
Amen.
As I said the other night, to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. I was thinking about that earlier. And it wasn't too long ago Brother Goomba was preaching. And he was talking on those same lines. And he was talking about there's only one voice. There's only one. And when Brother Goomba was preaching it, he kept repeating the name. And it was striking when he was saying it. And he kept saying, William Branham, William Branham, William Branham. Every time he would come to that point, he would call the name. And I don't know if it was just me, but it's like I could feel that the devil didn't like it. I could feel that. It's like every time you say, William Marion Branham, William Marion Branham. And I don't know if anybody else felt that, but I could just tell the devil didn't like it. And there's something to it. Because God said there's something to it. God said there's something to it. And so when you feel the power of God coming against that spirit, and Satan don't like it, don't think he's not around. He's around, you can be sure. And he don't like what's being said, and he don't like what's being preached. He don't like when somebody is standing for the word. He don't like that. He don't like somebody that goes to work and tells everybody on their job about this revelation. Satan don't like that. No. He's afraid somebody's going to believe it.
That's right.
That's right. See, they were speaking, thus saith the Lord. There will not be any rain till I call for it. See? Oh, what a statement. He had been in the presence of God and been vindicated so perfect. Amen. Where is the bride? She is in the presence of God. That's a reality. That's not words. That's reality. She is living in the presence of God. If those people in Paul's day, and Paul said they were now sitting in heavenly places. Paul declared that for the people in that day. How much greater are the people? How much more real is that today? When the fullness of the word is here, the fullness of the spirit is here, how much more are we living in the presence of God?
Amen.
It's another atmosphere. It's another life. It's another place.
Yeah.
They say when you go into outer space, there's no gravity. You just begin to float.
Mm-hmm.
You just float around inside the spaceship. They got to grab something. Said if they open up their food that they're going to eat, said it just starts floating off into the air. They can open the package and it just starts going away. They got to reach out and grab it. No gravity. When you come into this presence, there's no of this carnal gravity can do anything to you. There's no sin. All sin is gone. All of that's done away with. You're now free. There's nothing. If there's something pulling us down, we need to shake it off.
That's right.
And there's a way. There's a way to shake it off, and that's by the word.
Yes, sir.
It's by the word. I think somebody posted on the groups today about resisting the devil. Now, I don't remember the quote, but it was a real good. I was really busy today. Unfortunately, I had to work, and so it really hindered me my time studying. But I glanced at it, and it was a really good quote. And we were there in His presence.
Yes.
And Satan don't have nothing on us. He don't have nothing on us. And remember, that also follows Amos 3:7. The Lord God will do nothing until first He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. So if He's revealing it first to His prophets, That means that that voice that God is speaking to, that mouthpiece that God is speaking to, that means, that translated means that God don't do nothing until he tells his bride, until he tells his people. Is that what he's saying? Why is he telling the prophet? So the prophet can tell the people. That's the reason. So God don't do nothing until he tells his people first what he's fixing to do. And they're the only ones that can receive it. They're the only ones that can believe it. He told. The voice told the whole world in Noah's day. They just didn't believe it. They seen him build an ark. They came to see him build the ark. They came to watch him. They came to mock. They came to laugh. They came to say, well, you know, the world's pretty bad. Who won't tell you that today? Who won't tell you that there's no way that America can go on today? There's no way. Judgment is on this nation. This nation is gone. There's no way. But it's also on the whole world. It's time. It's here. It's over. It's finishing. We're in the last moments. History, Brother Branham said, there's no use to write history. There won't be nobody here to read it. And the only ones that will be around already have all the history that they need. They got all of it. He'll continue unfolding it throughout eternity. And it'll be truth. It won't be lies. Because everything's based on lies now. I'm telling you, if you read, if you believe everything you read on the news, you're deceived. Yep. I don't say that critically. I say that sincerely, that if you believe what they're writing, because it's been proven now that we have a democratic media. Yep. We have a liberal media. And so it don't matter how much they try to disguise it. It don't matter how much, and they really don't. But there's a few of them that they mask it a little bit. But you can tell automatically that you can't hear a commentator on the news anymore and wonder what his political party is. There's no wondering. It's absolutely out there. There's no more now. It's 100%. It's like a spiritual war. It's a political war. It's all of it now, it's there. Because it's time to be there. Because it's bringing that judgment upon the earth. It's part of that judgment. It's part of all of it. And so it's all going down. And you just look at the headlines daily. And it's crazy. It's terrible. It's terrible. God is speaking, and he's speaking through his bride. That's where he's speaking at today. Just you just be sure. If you are a part of this bride, you are a part of the voice of God today. Because it first came to the prophet. And after it comes to that prophet, Brother Branham said it still hangs in a supernatural element. And it's God is revealing it to the elect. And as the elect believe it, as they receive it, as they receive the revelation, they begin to speak it. And they are speaking, thus saith the Lord. And they become one with that word, just as the prophets become one with the word. They're the manifestation of that word upon the earth. Brother Adam said, the scripture said that God will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's a promise. That's prophecy. That has to be, there has to be a bride walking upon the earth without any sin, without spot, without wrinkle. There has to be a people walking on this earth that believe every word of God, that it doesn't, that they don't have the ability to doubt one word of God. They don't have that. They can't. If their carnal mind tried to get them to doubt something, they couldn't do it. God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God would override that intellectual doubt. Yes, paragraph 64, they laughed at him. They thought he was crazy, that fanatic. But see, He had thus saith the Lord that it wasn't going to rain. See? And God, before he did that, he revealed it to Elijah, his servant. See? Now, in Noah's day, he revealed it was going to rain. Now, in Elijah's day, he's revealing it's not going to rain. And it's not even going to be due for 3 years and 6 months. There will not even be dew fall from the sky. That's a pretty powerful thing. And do you know that for 3 years and 6 months? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how dry, how dusty? I can remember a few times in Kenya when it hadn't had rain for a while. You ride down the road, you can wash your car, and you ride 100 yards down the road, and you can, so everybody had a red car. Or whatever color your dirt road was, that's what color your car was. And it was just dust. It was dust everywhere. 3 years and 6 months. And that prophet said, it will not rain until I call for it. Praise be to God. See? He had, thus saith the Lord, it wasn't going to rain. See, he revealed it to Elijah, his servant, and he was a vindicated, proven prophet, so the people ought to have repented. But instead of that, they laughed at him. Oh, we got plenty of rain. The reservoirs are full. The rivers are running good. The Bible said there was not even dew for 3 years and 6 months. All the brooks dried up. The waters dried up everywhere. That wasn't that man. That was God speaking through that man. That was the I. It was. That I was him. We find out that when a man comes sent from God, ordained of God, with the true thus saith the Lord, the message and the messenger are one and the same thing. The message and the messenger are one and the same. So if that word is the word of God, and God is the word, and the messenger becomes one with that word, that's God that's speaking that word. And if the bride is a word bride, and she becomes one with the word, if she's speaking the word, and her, the message and the messenger, becomes one. Just as the mantle of Elijah went to Elisha, that mantle of the prophet, we got plenty of men who want that mantle. We got plenty of preachers who claim that mantle. That mantle went to the bride. That's where it went. Because that's who's holding the sword now. Amen. That's who has the revelation now. Yep. That is going to be displayed by God now is being done through the bride. Yes, because that is what his work was. Amen. To take that book, to claim that bride, and to possess, to enter into that bride. Amen. And manifest himself how he wants to manifest in the members of this body. And every one of them, he is going to do something different. Every one of them has one thing in common. That's they all believe this. But they're everyone different. There's no two the same. When they come out with this DNA thing, I thought it was the most astounding thing. But you know, I was just as amazed 50 years before, or maybe 40 years before that, or when I guess as a teenager, when I found out that there was no two fingerprints. Think about it. In billions of people that's been on the earth, there's no two people that have the same fingerprint. None. They're everyone different. And then they can take the DNA and they can trace your ancestry. Man's really come a long ways. come a long ways. He's really, Brother Branham said, the scientist of, they're right on the door there. They're right on the door of seeing over. But the spiritual side of those things is what's so great to us. We have a spiritual DNA. We have that germ that come from God before the foundation of the world. A denominational man under denominational auspices, he and the church is one. A theologian under the theology made by some denomination, he and his message are one. Church of theology, a theologian is correctly. See? Then when a man comes with, thus saith the Lord, he and the message is one. That's right. And when Elijah come with, thus saith the Lord, he and his message became one. Just as Jesus, when he come, he was the Word. St. John 1. So the Word of God and the messenger of the age was the self same thing all the time. That's right. Same thing. See, Jesus was the Word that was prophesied of. He was what the prophet said would happen. A virgin shall conceive and bear its child, this child. See, way back in the beginning, God told them, the woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head, and he'll bruise her heel. All these prophecies had been given. And David crying, all the rest of the prophets down through the ages speaking of him. He was that Word manifested. Huh? That's exactly the bride. She is the Word manifested. Hallelujah. That's right. Do you see where I'm trying to get to? I spoke with you pretty plain this morning. Don't you see the authority? Listen now. Don't you see the authority of the living God in the living church, the bride?
That's right.
The sick are healed. The dead are raised up. The cripples walk. The blind see. The gospel goes forth in its power, for the message and the messenger are the same.
Amen.
Who's the messenger now? Where is he at now? Where is his presence now?
Amen.
That's where he's at. That's where he's at. That's where he's speaking from. I've heard, but now I see. Paragraph 242. Oh, what a wonderful. And the blood of the Lamb has washed away every doubt. And we believe his word emphatically. We believe that the word was made flesh. We believe the word is made flesh by the vindication of his presence now to confirm his word. Do you believe that? Bless you. That was left in there. I jumped to the end on Sunday and read that, but it was still in these last few quotes. We're still reading what I didn't get from Sunday. So, God who is rich in mercy. Lord God, you're so real. Your presence, I think of grace, Lord. We have just seen you do so many things. We've heard you speak with tongues. See, you interpret it through your people. Oh God, you see, to see you heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the dumb to talk. What a great and mighty God you are. And then to see that you promised this in the last days. Though we have many carnal impersonations, yet it only declares that there is a real God somewhere. Is that right? That is really true. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that we will become so God conscious that we see that you're here.
Amen.
Amen. God help us. Everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we see, everything we think about, may we be God conscious in all of it to recognize his presence. And these people in the line, when they go through this line, we're doing this because that we made a promise to them and you said that these signs shall follow them that believe. Here is minister brother standing here. Men that you have chosen before the foundation of the world to be what they are tonight. Listen what he's saying. What God wanted you to be before the foundation of the world. Think about that. God has not made any mistakes. God has not done anything out of order. He hasn't done anything wrong. There's nowhere you find in all of the scripture, in all of the message, where you're going to get born again, you're going to believe the message, and everybody's going to go around doing great miracles, raising the dead and healing the sick and opening the blind. You don't find that anywhere. What you find is that person or persons, they become filled with the life. And then they, everywhere they go, everything they do, they're on the ready. They're on the ready because they're living in the presence of God. And as soon as they see that God wants to do something, God wants to speak something, God wants to pray for somebody, God wants to do something, they're ready. They're ready to step into that place right there, ready to do what he wants them to do, ready to fulfill that moment. It might be you might live your whole life for that moment. But your whole life will be for him. Your whole life will be manifesting him. But when it comes to some supernatural something, your whole life, he might do it one time. Elijah did four miracles. Elisha did eight. Is that right? I got those numbers right? It was 4 and 8 or 8 and 16. I think it was 4 and 8. Something like that. Whatever the numbers are. He did twice. He did twice what the other one did. Brother Branham said that there was more done in this day than in the Bible. In all the Jesus ministry, all the things that he did, I don't know what the number was. If you count, you know, it's all recorded there. They've been counted. You can be sure. What every miracle that he did, everything that he did, all that Jesus did was done in one meeting. Some of those meetings back there, there were so many people healed. There were so many people. And I shouldn't say that. I'm saying that as a, I don't want to exaggerate, but I don't think it's an exaggeration, but I'll take that back. It doesn't matter. But the point is that there's been more done in this day. That is the point, and it's a valid point, and it's for a reason. That because there was so much unbelief in this day that God brought the greatest ministry and the greatest power, display of power, the greatest supernatural signs and wonders. And even in such a way almost that he had never done before. He'd done it before, but there was times when, you know, if you heard some nominal preacher say, "You bring me your worst cases. You bring me the worst cases that you got," you would just blow that off. That's a man's ego. But here was a man doing that, and God was honoring his words. God, he didn't want, don't bring me somebody with a headache. Don't bring me somebody with some simple thing. I don't want none of those people on the platform. I want you to bring me somebody that it will take a supernatural, it will take a miracle to heal that person. He said, "You bring them to the platform, and I promise you, every one of them will be healed." God eventually made him stop saying that. But every time he said it, God honored what he said. And everyone that came in there was healed. Because the message and the messenger had become one. Because that messenger had lived in the presence of God so much so that whatever he said, God was going to do it. If he said something wrong, God corrected him for it. If Moses did something wrong, if he struck something too many times, the water still come out of the rock. God might not have been pleased with what he'd done. God might not have been pleased. But the messenger and the messenger was one. And God honored what they said. Every one of them. Just think. A prophet walk out there and children make fun of him. And he called a she-bear. Call out a she-bear and kill 42 children. We can't even find where God corrected him for it. Have you read anything? Think about that. It happened. His words were honored by God. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? God honored what the prophet said. Because they were one with that message. They were speaking. They were standing in the place of God. That's what they were doing. And when people walk away from this message, that is a dangerous place. They're failing to recognize. If they don't think this is it, they better be going to what they think is it. Because God is speaking through a man. He spoke through a man. This message came through a man. Every message in the whole Bible came through a man. All of them. And this message was the greatest. And this message, God had to come down and take over that man. God had to incarnate himself in that man and speak forth what no man could speak. And what he spoke was not known from the foundation of the world. Nobody had known it. Nobody had spoke it. Nobody, after all the Bible was revealed, and then he takes the book, he comes down, that mighty angel comes down and speaks those seven thunder mysteries, then the message comes forth that had never been known, hidden from the foundation of the world, and that message is passed to the bride. And he said the public will never know it. Those seven thunders, the seventh seal, would never be known, revealed to the public. Only the bride is speaking that. She receives that revelation and she begins to speak it. She begins to speak that revelation.
That's right.
It's just, you know, Brother Branham said the bride is made up of every nation, every tongue. And the bride has her own tongue. She has a language that she can speak that nobody else understands. There's a language, and it's this revelation. You can speak this revelation, and it go right over people's heads that don't understand you. They can hear the words, and they don't understand what you're saying. They don't have any idea. They can say, well, I know English, but I'm not understanding. Because it's a revelation. Put the words together all you want to. It's a revelation. Here is minister's brother standing here. See, men that you've chosen before the foundation of the world to be what they are tonight. You knew before there was a world that we would stand here tonight because you're infinite. Now, this... I don't think you have this. There's the next sentence, and God did not have to just make a tree just to be a tree. Do you have that? Okay. I actually pulled this quote after I sent out the quotes. And this quote, actually, this is a quote out of a message that Brother Michael preached, Manifested Word, I think, back in May, and I had it laying there on my desk, and I was looking at it while I was waiting to come out, and it went right along with what we just got done reading, and so I just pulled it on. I'm going to read it, and I think it is in the message. I know my Redeemer liveth, but I have it back there. I can give it to you afterwards. God did not just have to just make a tree just to be a tree. He made a tree for a purpose. And God did not make you and I just to see if he could do it. He made us for a purpose. Therefore, there is a purpose of us all being here. You're not here just to be another human being. You are here because that God made you for some purpose. You're not here just to eat the food that God growed. You're not here just to live in that house that man made or to wear the clothing that someone fashioned. You are here for a specific purpose. We're talking about the bride. No matter how little you are, how big you are, how important you are, how unimportant you are here to serve a purpose. Just as my finger is here for a purpose, it's a part of my body. And I'm going to tell you, we take it for granted day in and day out. But I tell you what, I've hit it a couple times. I've hit one of those fingers. And then every time you touch something, pain shoots through you. Then you begin to realize, this guy is busy all day long, and I never even gave him any credit. I never even recognized how he was touching stuff all day long until I mashed one of those fingers, and then every time I touch something, I get pain. Yep. Then I realize, man, then I'm trying to hold him back. Every time I do something, I'm trying to hold him back to protect him. Mm-hmm. All day long, he's right there working. Why? He's unnoticed. But he's part of the body.
Amen.
He's part of the body. You might think you're unnoticed, but you can be sure God's not like me. He's not forgetting that until there's some pain there. He's not forgetting that until there's some hurtful something happened. God knows every single day, every single part of the body. God's right there, right there, right there. No matter how little, how big, how important, how unimportant you are, you're here to serve a purpose. Just as my finger is for a purpose, my nail on my finger is for a purpose. My eye, every part of our bodies is to serve a purpose. That's right. Every part. Yeah, it was not just put here just to see what it would look like when it was put here. But it was put here to serve its purpose. It was God's divine plan to do so. And if we were put here for a purpose, then there's nothing can destroy us until God's purpose is fulfilled. Nothing. Nothing can touch you until God's finished with that purpose. And no matter when God's ready to call us home, there's nothing can keep you here. No, there's no bomb shelter. There's no place to hide. There's no, there's nothing you could do. Nothing you could do. You say God revealed to somebody and said, so-and-so, you're going to die this week. You're going to die. And so you say, well, I'm not going outside. I'm going to stay right in my house. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. And you'll die in your house.
Yep.
You can be sure if it's God's time, you're going to go. Nothing can harm us until that purpose that God has put us here for has been made manifest. No matter how much trouble we have, no matter how much heartaches and sorrows, what we go through, all these are reasons. And there's a reason for it. God has a reason. God has a purpose. That's right. That's right. All right, time's getting short here. But I mean, this is in God who is rich in mercy. Paragraph 198. So we pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that these sick people, crippled and blind and lame and cancer-ridden, whatever it might be that passes through this line, may they realize that the very God that knows the secret of the heart will heal them if they will just only accept it, only look and understand. See, the man that looked upon the brass serpent just as the priest, piece of brass, he never would be healed because he didn't have the understanding of what it was. People could look at it and not be healed. Think about it. He said, all you got to do is look at it. And today, Lord, the same. If they look upon a gift to think of it might be able, that it, they think of, that it might be able to help them. They don't have the understanding. Think what he's saying. They had the brass serpent. We had the gift. We had a prophet standing right there with those gifts, those signs, all of those things. And in one way, you could look at that and it would encourage you. It would build faith when you've seen the power of God happening. But he's talking about here, they're not understanding. They're thinking that's going to do it. That's not going to do it. The gift is not going to do it. No, the brass serpent's not going to do it. That's not what's going to do it. It's going to be that revelation that the presence of God is here. The presence of God is doing this. The presence of God is healing the people. The presence of God is the one that's doing it. See, they don't have the understanding. It's only a vindication of the presence of God that's here to heal. Grant it, Father. May it be done in Jesus' name. That's right. He said it didn't help them. Why? Because they didn't have the revelation. They didn't have the revelation. Think, God had Moses put that brass serpent there, and the people didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to have money. They didn't have to pay. They didn't have to work up anything. They didn't have to produce anything. All they had to do was believe it. God brought a gift in this day. God brought the presence of God come among the people today. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to have a letter from the church. You didn't have to have credentials. You didn't have to have an education. You didn't have to have money. You didn't have to have anything. All you had to do was believe it. To recognize it and believe it. That's all it took right there. In the message, look, this is following that line there. And I wanted to drop this in. Be persistent. Like that little Syrophoenician woman. No matter how many disappointments she had as she come down, she still had focused herself that was God. Huh? No matter how many setbacks, no matter how many people pushed her out of the way, how many disciples told her, no, don't bother him, get back. She was focused. She had one purpose, one desire. She wanted to get to him. That's all she wanted about. And she come to him and got what she asked for. That's right. See? And because she had her focus right, she had it no matter how many puffs of wind come, saying the days of miracles are past, your husband will leave you. That didn't bother her one bit. That bullet went straight to its point. Amen. See? We can focus on it. See, then we're living for him, looking for him to come. That's the one is going. See, those that are looking for him, that's the ones that are going to get it. Oh my, see, you got to get the purpose. You got to get to know what it is that he's doing. Look at the sheep gate. There was people. God has always had a way for man to look for salvation. And that brass serpent, the people had to look at it. That's right. And at the sheep gate, they had to look at it. Them people sat there. And I didn't realize how many times Brother Branham used the term sheep gate. But you know that the Pool of Solomon, that there was five pools there. And they were at a place called the sheep gate. And that was at the market there in Jerusalem. And so he uses this terminology a lot, and I'd never picked up on it before, but that's where it was. And so I don't know the names of all those pools, but one of them was the Pool of Bethesda. And it had an artesian well or stream that run through it that made it fresh water coming through there. And so the people sat there, and they were waiting for a supernatural move of God. They were there. They were waiting for it. They were looking for it. See, and the people had to look at it, that's right, at the sheep gate. They had to look at it. Let's think it was a hospital. There were many sick and afflicted. There was thousands of multitudes laid there, like a hospital today. The tender hands of their loved ones waited on them. just exactly like they would in a hospital today. They were waiting. Their eyes were watching that water. And there was five porches there where the sheep gate was. See, it's outside of Jerusalem there, or this gate. And then when he come in, he watched. Now, we run away from it because it's not connected with our organizations. See? Instead of looking for it, instead of waiting for it, waiting for that supernatural move, waiting for that revelation of this great message, people run away from it. They run away from it. At the sheep gate, they watched for the supernatural moving. God has always moved through his people, through supernatural vindication of his promise. He promised he would do it. And when they seen that promise begin to move in a supernatural, they jumped right into it and took it. That's what I was talking about a while ago, being ready. Being ready. Every day you're ready. You, because you're God conscious. You're walking everywhere you go. You go to work, you go to school, you go to the store. Wherever you go, you're God conscious. And you're waiting for that movement of the water. You're waiting for that word to move and for you to take a hold of what God is doing, what God wants to do. You're right there. You're ready all the time. They jumped right into it and took it. Today, even now, the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of God is in the earth, moving, showing things, and people run from it. Instead of getting into it, the Word made flesh and vindicated the very things that he did and promised that we would, and what we would do, does the same thing. And if it isn't connected with our groups, we have nothing to do with it. That's right. That's where man's ego and man's wants to be the one who gets the credit, wants to stand out there. It's God. It's God. That's the beauty of this message. That's the beauty of this messenger. This messenger was always promoting God. Amen. God. God. No matter what. I don't know anybody that put forth, that God vindicated himself in and put forth more healing and manifestation and more of all of those things. And he never took the credit. He never tried to look at me. I'm the one. No, never. He was always promoting God. That shows you the spirit that was on the inside. Jesus went and found one person in the entire church. You say, does God heal all? No, sir, he doesn't. And the Pentecostal brethren, let me drop this to you. You're looking for a time to come that when there's going to be men rise up on the earth and go out in hospitals and deliver them and say the whole hospital move out, empty out. Don't you never be deceived like that. You believe me. You believe that's a lie. It was never done. Jesus didn't do it. He didn't come into a town, heal everybody. He didn't go to the Pool of Solomon, Pool of Bethesda, any of those places and heal all the people. He didn't send his prophet Elijah down there and feed every widow. No, he didn't. He got one man, told him, take up your bed and walk. He got one woman. He said, the barrel won't run dry. That's right. You won't run out.
Amen.
No. You, with the carnal idea that we're going to come to that place, that we're going to be these supernatural powerhouses, and we're going to walk in the hospital and you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed. No. That's a show. God don't put on shows.
That's right. Amen.
Let's say that was a hospital. He went in there by the leading of the Spirit. He found one man that he knowed was ready. Huh? That was ready. How are you ready? The ground's prepared. Amen. You believe God. You know God's able. You know God can do it. And you're just waiting. You're just waiting for the water to move. And God sends somebody in there. And that is the moving of the water. God sends a genuine believer. God sends, it doesn't even have to be a minister, but it can be somebody that believes this revelation.
That's right.
and the waters moved. That supernatural is with them everywhere they go.
That's it.
Everywhere they go, it's living in them. Everywhere they go, it's right there all the time. See? He spoke, and that man, he told him the secret of his life. He told him there he wasn't unable to walk. He could walk. Somebody could beat him running. He said, when I'm coming, another steps before me. See? He wasn't blind. Neither was he deaf. Neither was he dumb. He wasn't crippled. He had some kind of retarded disease. It wasn't going to kill him. He had 38 years. And he would try to get down there, and somebody a little better off than him would step in. Then the virtue of the angel left. How about that? But did God make a way for that son of Abraham? Oh, he did. He did. He went down there himself. God went down there himself and said, take up your bed and walk. Praise be to God. You see that same old devil that said to Jesus with a rag wrapped around his eyes, hit him on the head with a stick, changed the stick from one hand to another. Tell us who hit you and we'll believe you. You're a prophet. See? Why? Before the world ever began, he knowed who had that stick in their hand. He didn't clown for nobody. He did exactly what the will of God was. And the church will do the same thing. This bride will do the same thing. The sheep gate, but they were watching for something. They were looking for something. Huh? They were waiting for that angel to move the water. Praise be to God. Brother Branham said, in every age, said, the bride is waiting, is looking, waiting for that movement. The children of Israel were waiting. They were crying out for it. God, what did the scripture say? When the angel came down to talk to Moses, he said, I have heard the cry of my people. I've heard it. And I've come down. Oh, he come to meet the need. And he always does. See? We'll see. And now if them said, oh, well, we'll go up there and see what the rest of them does. We'll see if that looks supernatural. They never got nothing. But it's that man that had to press up, see? Not set at the back, but in the front. That front, that man who waited for the altar call, that man who waited to see something supernatural, like this man here, Brother Williams' boy, raised up in a Pentecostal family. But yet one time, standing in a meeting where his daddy felt led to send him, and there that young man standing there, he's seen the supernatural hand of God. Quickly he become a Christian. That's right. He was ready to accept it, for he seen the moving of the water. He knew there was something supernatural that was taking place. He was standing in the presence of God, and he recognized it, and he wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to become one with it. Sister, that's where we everyone. We got children here. We want the same thing for them. We want God to move upon them. And let them reach out and take a hold of this revelation to see. One of my daughters was asking me the other day, Daddy, how will I know? How will I know that I've been born again? How will I know that I got it? I said, you'll know because he will reveal it to you.
That's right.
He will reveal it to you and you will know that he is in you,
amen,
that he's living in you. You become one with him. You'll know it. It can't happen. Without that reality striking. It may come subtle. It may come slow. It may come fast and quick. But you can be sure, however it's coming with the reality of it. It's coming with the revelation of it. He's going to make it known.
Amen.
He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to bring you to the understanding. It was a new life that come by a supernatural move that they were looking for it to happen. They knowed every certain season, then come down, they waited. Now, if it isn't going on all the time and we're on top of the house jumping around, we feel we'll leave this church, it's cool off. What a nonsense. You've seen that? You see it, especially in nominal people. if somebody's not keeping them revived and entertaining them and exciting them, they're off to the next church. They need somebody. They need somebody to keep them motivated, somebody to keep them fired up. Brother Ram said, you come to church fired up. You come to church prayed up. You come to church. You were studying before you got there. You just come to get some more. You already were in the study. You are already in prayer. You are already on fire with the Word of God, with the revelation of God. You don't need somebody to pump you up because you're already pumped from the inside. That artesian well is in there and it's living and it's moving you. What a nonsense. How we can't wait. Abraham didn't wait. He didn't think God had cooled off. He waited 25 years. You know, he didn't just wait 25 years. He waited his whole life. From the time he married, he was waiting for a son, wanting a son and wanting a son. He waited 25 years after God made the promise of that son. He didn't never give up on God. He didn't say, oh, I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to do something different. No, that's not it. This revival is on the inside. He waited 25 years, then he seen the hand of God move. They waited at a sheep gate from month to month for whatever it was, for that one supernatural moving, but they looked for it. Oh my, they were looking for it. And today we've lost that vision. Pentecost, we've lost something. Let's look to Christ. Our denomination has spread itself till it's went away out. And now we're fighting and trying to get more and bigger churches and higher classes and more educated preachers and things. And what have we got? We got away from the very thing that God told us to look at. What are you looking at? Look and live. That's what we must do if we expect to live. We're not looking for numbers. We're not looking for a crowd. We're looking for seed. We're looking for the genuine seed, the wheat plant. We're looking for the real thing. Brother Branham said, what we need is a humbling. What we need is a humbling. What we need is a shaking down, a thinning out, getting everything out except just Him, just that life, just that genuine. And when it's just the Word that's coming forth, it'll shake everything else away. It'll get rid of all that. Talk about a separation. That's the separation. When this revelation flows, the shock will pull away from it. Others might have laughed at him. That bunch of holy rollers down there. See, down there around the pool, why they say it's nothing but the wind. Yeah, the wind comes down, blows the water back. Not to them. It was the angel of mercy. It was the angel of healing. I believe it was the angel, though it seems so simple. But you see, God hides in simplicity. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. And this is, I will pick up on Sunday. And so, brother, sister, the presence of God is in the bride. This is the life age. So Brother Brent said, this is the life age. The life of Jesus Christ being manifested in His body. And that body had been building and building and building until now has come to the head and the intelligence come into it and begin to manifest what He is, what He wanted for this day and this age. Amen. God bless you. We'll ask you to stand together with us. We're going to ask Brother Goomba to come and he can dismiss us, sing a song, something. Amen.
That's good. My brother Don is backing up on that. He said that Jesus, all the things that were done by Jesus in the life of Jesus and the prophets, that this day was done more than that. And then he said, I will not say that. I said, Brother Don, I would say that myself. the Lord, he said that greater things than this shall you do.
Amen.
And then the prophet comes to that to interpret that. He says, you cannot do greater. Healing is healing. Is more. But you can imagine that all the things that were done by Jesus Christ, the prophet says, they could not have been lit. There was no way to write. It was so much. And now, when the prophet comes, he says, now is more. Greater than Solomon is here now.
Amen.
And that's quite something. Not everything, what you need to know is that not everything that was done by the prophet is written. There were some things that were not written anywhere. Some people tried to give some testimony of what he did. Like one time they were going with Das and Larry in the vehicle and they were going to the woods to hunt. And Das and Larry had something on his finger that had disturbed him all his life. And he was just doing this, like that. And I think it was itchy or painful or something like that. And they're driving and the prophet has just gotten to the other side of the vehicle and Das and Larry seated there. And before he gets the wheel, he does this. And Das and brother saw it. But Dazan Larry didn't tell him, he said, what's that, Dazan? He was not even a brother that time. What's that, Dazan? And he looked at him and said, bring it, and he touched it, just like that, and said something, and it was gone. It's not written anywhere. There's no story about that. But you know, there are very many things that the prophet did. Brother, it's true. He's done, this age has been done things more than all the other ages combined.
Amen.
Greater things shall you do. Not greater, many. Because it's not greater many, because healing is healing. Jesus reached, I don't remember exactly, but just a few people. The prophet says, now we have on record by the doctors, I don't remember the number of this, and he compares with Jesus. So it's more work than this. The things that have been done in this age, Lord, brothers, is great. And that was the first sheep that was waved upon the bride. That's our life. Not miracles, brother. Not miracles. My life, brother, my life.
Amen.
Is a miracle. My life itself is a miracle. Yes. All the time. My life is a miracle. Whoever God is, they're supernatural. You are supernatural even if you don't do nothing. He says, this prophet came and did this. This prophet, he said, John Camp did nothing. You see that? And then he says, all the people that were born of women, none is greater than John, except him who is the Son of Man. You see? And he didn't, no miracle, you see that? It's not about miracles, it's not about doing that. It's about being him, being new. That's miracle enough.
Amen.
That's miracle. Your life emanates miracles. That's why I'm not preaching, but anyway, I just wanted to come here and pray and go. But that's why I... When that quickening power comes, when he comes and dwells in you, that he says, and that was not even it. But Paul, sorry, my wife, I'm sorry about that. But Peter would just pass by. Paul would pass by. But the quickening power in the shadows of their bodies, because of the quickening, because of the presence of God in them, could go around healing people.
Amen.
He'd say that sometimes the handkerchief he'd just touch the handkerchiefs and send them. Because of the presence of God in him, and the presence of God, because of that handkerchief goes and heals people. I mean, the power of God in you, the presence of God in you, is so great. We can just say on and on. You can finish that. That's really. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the things the Lord God you opened to us. Father, this is our food. As that book says, the spiritual food in due season. Lord, we love it. It's ours. We see it. You opened our eyes, Father. You promised that if we see him go and you come, then Lord, that man called the William Marion Branham, then Lord, Father, we will see you and double portion what he had, we'll have it. More works than this shall you do. That's exactly the truth, Lord. It's going to happen and it's happening. You're so thankful for that. For all things, we give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.